So in your bulletin today, Palm Sunday, it says rejoice. This is Zechariah 9:9. It says rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to look at this where it actually did happen. So Matthew chapter 21. In Matthew chapter 21, we're going to start reading from verse 1. In Matthew 21, verse 1, it says, now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, which a prophet is Zechariah. And he says in verse 5, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them, and a very great multitude spread out their clothes on the road, and others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. This prophecy by Zechariah was given 500 years before the event would actually take place. These people were ready for the Messiah. These people believed in the Messiah. They knew that from the Old Testament scriptures, they knew that the Messiah would be coming. And they were looking forward to that event. They were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. The people were yelling, save us, save us. But being saved from their sins was the farthest thing from their mind. And are we any different today when you stop and you think about the multitudes? Are we any different today? Save us, save us, save us from our political problems. Save us from our leaders. Save us from this. Save us from the gas prices. Save us from the wars. Save us from all of these things. But never stop for one second and think, I need to be saved from my sins. The people wanted a political leader that would raise the nation of Israel back up to the prominence in this world that it once had. They knew the scripture in Isaiah. And if you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, it's one that we read at Christmas time, almost every year. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That's the Messiah they wanted. That's the Messiah that they want today. They wanted the Messiah of the second advent, not the Messiah of the first advent at his first coming. Look at the comparison. Here he comes riding a donkey. If you were the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I don't think that you would come into the city of Knoxville riding a donkey. Man, I would get the nicest Corvette you ever saw. It'd have the hood down. It would be ready to go. I would pull in there and everyone would recognize, I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But Jesus did not come that way the first time, did he? He came as a humble, righteous king, bringing salvation, riding a donkey rather than a war horse, a king of peace and not of war. And the comparison we see in his first advent and his second advent is almost like day and night. We turn to Revelation 19 this morning. This is what it will look like when he comes back and we come back with him. Revelation 19. I love this passage of Scripture. I could read it in church every Sunday. In Revelation chapter 19, starting to read from verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he sat on him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that was a... With it should strike the nations, and he himself will rule with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. That's the Lord Jesus we want to see. That's the Lord Jesus that's come back. He doesn't ride a donkey. He's riding a horse of war. He defeats the enemy with the spoken word of God. Just as God spoke the world in creation, he will defeat them by the spoken word. No more a donkey, but a horse of war. Totally two different pictures of the one and the same, very same Messiah. Proven over and over through the prophecy of the Scripture, Jesus was the long-awaited one, the only begotten of the Father. At Christmas time, we sing that chorus, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Being interpreted, God is with us. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. God came down through the person of Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. So you and I could be reunited with our Heavenly Father. That's the problem in the world. It's not a different leader. It's not a different economic status. The problem that we have in the world today and the problem that we have in the United States of America is a sin problem. Look with me at Luke chapter 19 and verse 9. Luke 19 and verse 9. In verse 9 he says, in Luke 19 and verse 9, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus Christ was, is, and will ever be the greatest gift to all of mankind. The Jesus Christ of Christmas time comes alive. Salvation is the greatest and the most precious thing that you will have on this side of heaven. And I want to read that again. Brother and sister, you need to rejoice in the salvation that you have for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing better. It is the most blessed gift that you will ever receive, and it is the most blessed blessing that you will ever have in your life. It's not a new house. It's not a new car. It's not more money. I praise God that I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Someday I'm going to leave this earth. Someday I'm going to walk on the streets of glory. Salvation is the greatest and most precious thing that you will have this side of heaven. At the triumphal entry, Christmas walked the streets of Jerusalem. through the powers of the Holy Spirit today, Christmas, can walk into your heart and can walk into your life. And his name is Jesus. But the people didn't get it then. And they don't get it today. In their mind, they didn't need a Savior for their sins. But from the world conflict in which they were surrounded by. They wanted to get rid of the Roman government. They didn't want to be under their rule or their authority any longer in this world. They wanted Jesus to come at that time to set up his government on his shoulder, a government, and he would sit on the throne of David and he would rule for the rest of time. Salvation was the furthest thing from their minds. And salvation is the furthest thing from people's minds today. It's amazing, isn't it? But the greatest need then and now is a Redeemer, a Savior, a Liberator. Look at with me to Luke chapter 4. You're almost there when you're in 18. Go back to Luke 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Verse 16 says this, "So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.' And when he had closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" This is what I have come to do. I've come to set the captives free. I've come to liberate those that have been oppressed. I've come to bring salvation to this earth. And I am the only one that it can be found in. Amen. Salvation was the furthest thing from their mind. But it's the greatest need then, and it's the greatest need today. The problem in our world today is not the price of gas. It's not an economic problem. It's not about who the leader is. It's not about a drug problem. It's not about an alcohol problem. The problem in this world and in America is sin. Let me give you an example. Police officers on a daily basis, they don't deal with crime. They don't deal with drugs. They don't deal with rape. They don't deal with murder. These are all symptoms of sin. Our police officers on a daily basis are dealing with a sin problem in America. That only Jesus can liberate and to set people free from. That's our job as a church. In John 10:10, it says that Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Apart from Jesus, in this life, it only offers existence. And think about that. Apart from Jesus, in this world, in this life that you live right now, you're only living for existence until you die. You get up, you go to work every day, you bring home a paycheck, you pay your bills, maybe you'll get to do something over the weekend, and then on Monday you start that all back over again. Over and over, it's repeat, repeat, and repeat. It's only existence apart from Jesus. But Jesus says, "I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly."
our life in the Lord Jesus Christ is the most precious thing that I have ever had in my life, and it is the most precious thing I will ever have. But the greatest peace is available to us that has ever been known. The peace of heart, the peace of our soul is offered and available to the people then, and it's available to us now through the life and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him, if you don't know Him, and you see the world events that are going on in the world stage all over this world today, you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Time is approaching fast and fast and faster. If you do know Him, then you need to be praising God and shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, because it is the greatest thing that you will ever have in your life. Do you, as an individual today, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you are going to walk out of this road, walk out of this building, get in your car, drive up that on that highway and get T-boned and die within the next 30 seconds, do you know that you're going to be going to heaven, or do you not know that? And the Scripture says we can know, because His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. And what is the Spirit of God speaking to your heart right now? Because that's how the Spirit of God operates. You know. You know before you walk out these doors if you know Jesus or not. Let us pray. Father, we come before You today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we only take a minute, Father, to ask that question to everyone in this room. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you don't know for sure, you can know for sure. If there's a question in your heart, you can know for sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Does His Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God? And while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, as that question is asked and the Holy Spirit is just moving through this building today, touching every heart, every life, He's speaking to you. He's speaking to you. Do you know Him as Lord and Savior? If you do not know Him for sure that He is the Lord and Savior of your life, I want you to stand up and come forward. I'd like to pray for with you today. This is what we are in, brother and sister. We are in the salvation business. This church moves forward in unity and in harmony. And some people say, well, Pastor, you almost have an altar call every Sunday. That's the business that we are in, the salvation business. Why did Jesus come? He came to save the lost. And that's what we do. That's what we're doing to fulfill the Great Commission. I want to find one more person. That does not know if they know Jesus as Lord and Savior today, that they can make that decision for Him. Would there be one? If there's one, I just want you to get up and come forward. I'm going to close the service in just a moment. Amen for that hand. Would you like to come forward and let me pray for you today? Is there anybody else today? Let us pray. Father, we come before You today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We rejoice in this day, Palm Sunday. We shout, Hosanna, Hosanna, our Savior, our Savior. We love You, Lord Jesus, with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. I pray that, Lord, over my brothers and sisters today, that, Lord, as we leave this place, that You would bless their life. And, Father, I pray that You would be with them in the days to come, that we would gather back on Friday. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. You are dismissed.